Hi, Greg. It's the same in Skullmora. They have to wear a school-issued coat, which is expensive. They also have to wear crested PE tops. I think this policy is scandalous, particularly in their current financial climate we all find ourselves in these days. Another, these parents make me laugh. They complain about the cost of a school coat, but they'll pay twice that for a branded coat. Another, yes, our college has a very strict school coat and uniform policy. Even in the hot weather last year, the children couldn't remove their jumpers. We need a bit of common sense, don't we? My children attend the community school. They must wear only the school crested coat, approximately €60. I bought these and they don't want to wear them. Maybe first, second year, but afterwards, no wind, rain or snow. Recently, the school introduced the PE uniform. Students have the option to purchase the school crested kit or buy their own plain black unbranded gear. I went with the latter as it was less expensive. Just like to add, I was bullied for style by children when I was a kid, called names and put down. That was the 90s. Don't think that it's any different at that time. The secondary school I went to had uniforms and it stopped completely. It's more stressful than you would think. The coat can last a long time. Indeed, and I get you. But if it is the coat, I suppose everybody has to have the same coat, wouldn't they? Let me see here some more of your comments coming in this morning. Ryan, Eamon Ryan, is not respected anywhere. He's a globalist yes man. Him, Donoghue and all other cronies. He's respected internationally is the point I'm making. Hi, Greg, I'm 66 and when I go to visit my mum, the first thing she says is, why are you not wearing your coat? Because I hate a heavy coat, only if I really have to wear it. Another regarding the school jackets matter. It doesn't matter what the weather is. The Loretto Girls' School in Letterkenny has to wear the school jackets. It's okay on a normal day, but when it's extra cold, they should be able to wear a warmer jacket. And on it goes. Thank you so much. Keep them calls, comments coming in. We'll get to more of them as the morning progresses. But I want to say good morning now to Liam Cannon, Director of Counselling at the Raphoe Diocese Centre in Letterkenny. Thank you very much for joining us and calling up to us today. Liam, good to have you on.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, okay. So it is the county's only adult and child counselling service. Just to give us a sense of the work that it did and where it did it and how many, I suppose, sessions of counselling have been delivered in recent years, please.
Okay. To start off, the service is in existence for 34 years and I joined that service back almost 14 years ago. And when I joined the service, my role was director of counselling. We had five counsellors and we were delivering an adult service. Now, over the years, that service has grown and developed. And in 2016, we launched a child and adolescent service simply because we were getting a lot of parents looking for support for children and young people and there wasn't anything available in the county. So a lady in Karen Donna, who had lost a child, did a bit of fundraising, and from that, I launched a child and adolescent service on €853. So that's the start of it. Currently, we have a team of 26 counsellors. We have extended the services out again to seven outreach centres, and again, that's all down to need. People contacting us looking for support for children and young people. So that gives you a picture of kind of, you know, how the service has developed and grown over the years. And I mean, 2023, we delivered approximately 3,000 sessions. That's individual sessions.
Now, you're speaking to children and adolescents, you know, dealing with a range of issues. Can you give us a sense of what you're helping our young people with?
Well, you know, we're dealing with practically anything. You know, you have a lot of anxiety out there. And particularly, you know, post-COVID, you know, if you think about it, Greg, young people that were maybe 9 or 10 and had 3 years of kind of isolation and now, you know, expected to kind of move back out into the world and they're finding it hugely challenging. You know, so social anxiety, depression, self-harm, you know, a whole range of stuff.
How are people finding their way to your services? Were parents aware and called up? Were there signposting or reference referrals?
Yeah, well, our services are open to everybody. So, you know, there a lot of parents will contact us and refer, self-refer. We take referrals from HSE services as well, you know, psychiatry.
I think that's a very important a very important part, which we'll come to in a moment. Mm-hmm. So this is a service that the HSE themselves refer people to.
Yes, this is a service that we take referrals, as I said, from psychiatrists, GPs, psychologists, social workers. So we cover basically, you know, a lot of the state services that are probably overloaded are referring to us as well.
I spoke to some people privately when I posted about this last night, whose family accessed your services and they can't speak. They don't want to speak publicly because their children are in a good place now and they don't want it to trigger anything or whatever. And that's it's an unfortunate but a wonderful catch 22 in that they've got young people now who are, you know, in a really, really good place, but it's because of these services. But at the same time, they can't speak out because they don't want to, you
sure,
know. But that's the type of people that have been contacting me that are going, this is unbelievable. I can't believe this is happening. It had such a positive impact on our family. And it's not just the person you cancel, it's the family as a whole as well, I think.
Completely. Well, Greg, you know, I can tell you that this is the only service of its kind in the county. And if you remember back in at the end of 2021, I received two awards, one national award from the Irish Association of Counsellors and Psychotherapists and one regional award. And, you know, why or the reason I received those awards was because of service development in the county, and it was recognised nationally as the only service of its kind in Ireland, that we have something here very, very valuable that is serving the communities, you know, from Cairndonagh right to Dunloe, and, you know, that's a huge range. And that was
So, how have you funded this?
We're currently funded by TUSLA, mainly. Mainly, TUSLA would be our main funders.
Okay.
However, the monies we receive from TUSLA are for service delivery only. You know, and our issue currently is that as a director, you know, on one day a week, I am vacating that post, and I've recommended a full time post because it does need a full time post to drive it forward.
What funding, annual funding, would be needed now to keep this service going?
Well, you know, as I said, this service is the only one of its kind.
Understood.
The Child and Family Agency, TUSLA, or the HSE don't have a service to take clients that are looking for these services.
But is there a budget that would keep this afloat for now?
Yeah, for now, I mean, what we're looking for currently is we're looking for the salary of a new director, to put a new director in place full time. And that would be the start. You know, that if we got that right away, that would allow the services to continue. And
no one's going to do that on a voluntary basis, I take it.
Well, being honest with you, I'm there one day a week and I spend my weekends for the last 4 years.
And I'm not
years.
Calling you out on that. I'm just trying to preempt any comments that might come in. Why should someone take on such a role?
A huge responsibility. Yeah. It's a huge responsibility, Greg, because you're responsible for the whole running of the service and the governance.
That's exactly what I was going to say. An awful lot of governance and how things are run and what have you. Yeah. So between the jigs and the reels, effectively, you know, somewhere in the region of 50, 60, 70,000 euro, if there was some level of commitment for that for 2024, this decision could be reversed?
Well, absolutely. I mean, what we're looking for here, you know, 60, 70,000 for one post to put a director in place, and that would reverse the decision.
What was the reaction of the staff when they were informed of this?
Absolutely got it, you know. The staff, we have a fantastic team, you know, of counsellors and admin staff down there, and I spoke with them yesterday, and it's probably the most difficult meeting I ever had with them, because I had to give them news that their, you know, the service that they were delivering was closing, and absolutely got it, devastated.
Well, we're making contact obviously with the various agencies and public representatives, who, as I said at the start of the show, if they have any influence in this is a service that that could be saved. We talk about the awful Chrysler tragedy that that people are still trying to work their way through. Mm-hmm. It is that's another instance whereby your services came to the fore, isn't it, in offering support. So I'm trying to Sometimes when you talk about, you know, a certain amount of counselling sessions over a certain amount of period of time, I don't think maybe it gives a sense of the work that you're doing. So that's
sure,
why I'm selecting this, if that is okay with you. So in the event of something that's probably more imaginable for us, as unimaginable as it is, the Chrysler tragedy, a lot of counselling services were provided. And again, services that are not available in this county that were available through you were provided at that time.
Absolutely, Greg. And, you know, currently, you know, we do have, you know, clients in our services who have been impacted or involved in the whole Chrysler tragedy. And, I mean, the work, that is very specialised work. It's trauma work. You know, it's not every service that offers that either. And again, you know, if should this service come to an end, where are these clients going to go? Because currently, our services have approximately about 360 clients on our waiting list. And if this, you know, I suppose...
So we should be really talking about increasing funding to increase the services, not talking about epoxy €60,000 to keep this going. Pardon
100%. My... 100%, yeah, no, yeah, that's 100% right.
Tradesman's language, so to speak. Mm. But we should be talking about how this can grow to support the 26 councillors that are already there, maybe expand that and to shorten that waiting list. Instead, we're talking about the only child and adolescent counselling service. I've done so many stories over the last year about a dramatic increase in young people and their mental health.
Yeah.
And we have one service in all of Donegal. I really wish people were more angry. I presume people are very angry. I know people associated with the service are. I don't know, have we received any press releases from opposition TDs, current TDs, ministers saying they'll make representations to some extent, and it may come, the silence is a little bit deafening here. You know, we it doesn't matter what party you're a member of or not.
No, no.
This is about our children here. 15,000 counselling sessions over the last 6 years, if I'm not mistaken.
No, that's
I've spoken to families whose children are they're adults now, and they're getting on with their lives because of this service. This is one service that, another service, sorry, that has been taken from Donegal. There's nothing to replace it. Those people that you're engaging with, where do they go to next?
Yeah.
The HSC seem to be suggesting you haven't applied for funding, and that's why that you can go to application, online.application.form or whatever it might be, and actually try and have some sort of a non-statutory agency funding. Why did you not pursue the HSC route in relation to seeking funding?
I'm glad you actually raised that point for me, because, you know, I did read that yesterday myself, and I suppose let me just explain a little bit about that. Yes, the HSE does have that service level agreement option in place. However, for us to avail of a service level agreement, we would have had to apply for this 6 months ago. This situation didn't arise 6 months ago. So really, you know, that option isn't open to us currently, and funding for 2024 has already been decided by the HSE. So, you know, I think really what I would be saying to the HSE about this is really, you know, if we take what we delivered last year, which is 3,000 counselling sessions, if that was delivered within the HSE, it would cost in the region of 273,000. Now, we delivered those 3,000 sessions for 105,000. So there's a savings there to the state in terms of waiting lists, but in terms of money, monetary value, of €168,000. And, you know, what we're asking for now is immediate, because this is the problem has only arisen.
You mentioned that Tusla, being one of the funders, they seem to be suggesting, in their word soup here, they seem to be suggesting that they will continue the existing level of funding, and they want to engage with the centre to see how the services can be continued under the existing funding. You're saying simply that's not possible, that's not doable.
Well, the existing funding, as I said, you know, is about service delivery.
What does service, that mean? Sorry, just in layperson's terms. Does that mean the counsellors themselves?
Yeah, that goes towards counselling sessions. Mm. So when we receive funding, the funding, it's very clear guidance with it and stipulation that it has to be only spent on counselling sessions. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, I suppose this is a little bit like, you know, a ship without a captain or a plane without a pilot. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to have the upper levels there.
Where did we come to this point that, Liam, and again, I believe just asking straight questions, yeah, and then we get to straight answers, okay? And it's not a probing question, but that this service is there. It's mm-hmm. running really, really well. There's always, you could always do with more funding, of course, mm-hmm. don't get me wrong, but that we've arrived at a point now that effectively the whole thing can collapse off the back of one person not getting paid a wage.
Yeah.
So that's what it, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but is that really, where did we get to the tipping point that the whole thing can collapse and all of these people could be without without these services because of the payment of one position?
Okay, well, back in September, I decided after almost 14 years to vacate the post. Simply because I'm there one day a week. I have my own practice as well on the other 4 days. So for the last 4 years, I'm putting in my weekends to it. So
would you be minded to apply for this position if funded?
No, I'm vacating it completely.
Okay.
Completely.
Yeah. But, just to be absolutely clear, Liam, yeah, I understand.
But, you know, Greg, the point is that for somebody to come in to replace me, then it needs to be a full-time post.
Yeah, yeah.
Because as
it's
I
grown.
Said,
you've grown this from yeah. €850 yeah. to where it's at now.
Yeah.
So and you can't continue to give the level of commitment that you are. You have to look after yourself
absolutely.
As well and your own
and,
your yeah. own endeavours. Okay, yeah, yeah. I just wanted that to be up. So there's no ambiguity there, Liam, and you've answered that really clearly, and I fully get that.
Good. Yeah.
If where do you think this money's? Where do you think this money can or is likely to come from to maintain this service? Like, I mean, TUSLA are not in negotiating mode here.
Well,
there is a process seemingly with the HSE that possibly it's open to be engaged with.
Yeah, but not until 2025 or, you know, for 2025.
Okay. And again, another critical piece of information. This yeah. cannot limp along.
No.
And it's not limping because it's a very well-organised situation, don't get me wrong. The situation can't limp along till 2025.
Well, Greg, my finish date for me leaving the post was the 2nd of January. But
yeah.
I mean, I'm not able to do that because, and I'll tell you why, because if I step out of the post currently,
it collapses from
immediately.
A, yeah, from a
because from the governance
position.
Yeah, from the governance
position.
This
is very
position.
Clear. So you're, yeah. this is a lot of pressure on you. There's no, I mean, personal pressure as well. It's tough because
yeah,
you
yeah.
know firsthand how this is helping people, but have you had any contact with elected representatives?
Yes, I've had a number of calls from elected representatives and, you know, they are lobbying on our behalf here. But, you know, I mean, that's what we need. We need people out there. We need people lobbying on our behalf at the minute. We need people who have, like you said, spoke with, who have availed of the services and who found it beneficial for their children or young people or for the adults that have gone through it. And so we need as much noise in the county as we can at the minute. But
And let's say you never know when a young person in your life might need these services. You simply don't know. So if you think that this doesn't apply to you now, God forbid it might. But this is the only show in town for counselling for children and adolescents. That's the only show in mm-hmm. town in Donegal. So if, God forbid, it came to pass that you needed some help for someone in your life, there is literally nowhere else to turn. Now, you can go through other... We know the delays in other services and what have you. But this is, I think, too, this is... the maintenance and early intervention as well, counselling, presumably.
Yes,
you know,
that's
this is
the
to
model.
Avoid things
yeah.
progressing
escalating.
And escalating. And then yeah. there are other things there, but we know the pressures that are on that. So, again, it's very much in the state's interest to invest in this. Again, I can't understand how this is being allowed to collapse over the sake of €60,000 effectively.
Yeah.
At least that would get us into a position whereby, you know, we could talk about what
service
happens in 2025,
yeah.
2026 and
yeah.
what on. This
yeah.
has grown mm-hmm. because it's been very well run, but it's grown because of need.
That's
100%, why it's been grown. It's
yeah.
grown because of the need. So that need is there and that's why it's escalated, as well as the great people working within this service, but there is the demand and that this has been demand driven in its growth.
Yeah, well, Greg, you know, up to 60% of our, you know, calls coming in seeking support right around the county is for children and adolescents. You know, and so that's a really important fact. But, you know, coming back to, you know, what needs to happen here, I think, you know, I think state services like TUSLA and the HSE really need to sit down and think about the 360 people that are on our waiting list, where are they going to go? They're going to go back onto their waiting list.
But too slow on going to listen, right? So it's that. Well, they will listen, but it's going to take a lot of noise.
Well, yeah.
So I mean, people listening to this now need to start making calls to their councillors, to their TDs, to their ministers, and say, listen, what I've just heard on the radio, it's completely unacceptable. This is the only service. Sorry, I cut across you there. Continue the point you were making about Tuzla, and that they should be thinking on the 360 on the waiting list.
Yeah, and the fact that they don't have a service, you know, child and adolescent service. But then the adult services from the HSE, as we all know, are jammed, you know, blocked, and there's a waiting list of
so
maybe a year
up until
or more.
Now, and I don't think this goes into any personal area. So, like, say for instance, Tuzla, they would have, you know, children in care, temporary care in this county, or in care settings.
Yeah.
Presumably, they also call on the centre for counselling.
They do, absolutely. They call on for children in care and for children, you know, who have left care. You know that. You know that that's another service. There's loads of different areas that Tuzla have where clients are referred from.
You might stick those headphones on, and you can inform me. Are they too loud? Or are they okay? They're okay?
Oh, okay.
All right. I don't want to blow your head off. Donna Harper joins me on the program. Donna, how are you getting on? And thank you very much for speaking out on this issue with everything that you're going through. Thanks, Donna.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, so your reaction to this news that this service, the only service of its kind in Donegal, is being scrapped over €60,000 of funding effectively. What's your reaction to this news?
Do you know what, Greg? When I first heard, I was very shocked, and it's very disappointing. The service is a vital, very vital for Letterkenny, for Donegal, because not alone is it just Letterkenny, they do have services in Chrysla and Dunfanaghy, Eastern Order, Buncrana and so on. And not alone would it just be Letterkenny that's closed, and all them other places would be closed as well. You're talking about then mental health of young people and adults, and you see so much, Greg, on social media, TV, newspapers, encouraging people to go and talk to people about their mental health and so on. So if the government do not step up and give the pastoral centre the funding they need, where is the young people supposed to go? What are they supposed to do? And God forbid there could be serious consequences out of that families.
And Donna, in our conversations, you know, soon after the awful Chrysla tragedy, which very sadly took the life of your beautiful daughter. At that point, it was like, well, where is the supports? Where are the services? And you know, thankfully they were there. You were able to find the pastoral centre, and they did help you and your boys.
Pastoral centre is very important, not alone just for us and our boys, but for so many other families. Because of the tragedy that happened in Chrysla, it affected so many people throughout Donegal. So, and I do know that there's other people using the services as well in the pastoral centre for that. And it really has, it's really been a help to us as a family, for our family, and I know for so many other families as well.
Yeah, okay, Donna, listen, thank you very much indeed. And just before you go, This is exactly what we were talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's great to hear the support, like, from the likes of Donna, who knows firsthand how important the service is. And again, you know, unfortunately, you know, she had to learn that in the hard way, you know, by losing her own daughter in an awful tragedy. But, you know, there are other people out there as well, and you know, they're probably listening in as well, who has availed of the services or who are currently
We know they're there. Donna, listen, thanks again. I really appreciate it. Hope you're doing okay.
Okay, great.
Take
thanks
care,
very
Donna.
Much.
Doreen Sheridan Kennedy, good morning to you.
Good morning.
It's hard to believe, would you agree that this service we could lose this vital service that so many people avail of, over €60,000 of funding anyway for 2024. It's unacceptable, isn't it?
Well, I was in total shock yesterday when I read it on local press. But just to say, first of all, to congratulate Liam Cannon on the great work he's done for the last 14 years. And he's brought that service to a level that I'm sure is envious around the country, as was noted when they got the awards in relation to the work that they're doing. And also, you know, to congratulate Donna there for coming on, because that's not an easy call to make today, in support of the services. But it's a question of this can't close. That would be my line on this. This cannot close. This service cannot go. This has to continue. And it is really up to the people who represent us on the HSE forum and elsewhere to get a hold of this and to get the funding. And if all we're talking about, as Liam has alluded to, is the salary to keep the person in permanent 5-day week leading this programme, well, then that's what has to be done. And it's pittance, really, in relation to money that's been spent. So, really, I was horrified in this, and I just thought, this is something I must get my teeth into, and I certainly will. And in anything I can do, Liam, and support you in relation to moving this on, I just think this has to be taken by the public as much as by the public reps and the HSE. This cannot close. That's the end of it. I've seen families, I've seen children benefit hugely from the counselling services that have been offered and the actual location of where it's at as well. And then when Liam refers to the various outlets throughout the county, you can see that, you know, we're not just, this is not just Letterkenny services, it's a county service. Mm-hmm. And it is vital that it's kept open. And whatever means it takes, I'm sure that the people who represent us now in our local government and in our national government, we'll just have to stand up and find money.
Yeah, but this should be sorted today. Doreen Sheridan, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Doreen.
Sheridan Kennedy. You know, we should be talking about, what we should be talking about here is you coming in, and we're recognising what you've done in establishing this. This is the way this conversation should be going. Mm-hmm. And we should also be talking about how it's gone from a one-day directorship that you've been doing to a five-day that's being funded, and that the hope is now that the new person coming in will have more time to talk about funding, growing the service, you know, improving the network, maybe a reach out to Donegal Town or something.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, my concern is if this falls to bits and the councillors, the 26 councillors go on to do different things, I don't believe that this would be very easy to put back together again.
Yeah, completely.
So I think we've got a really short window to say, right, okay, someone's dropped the ball here, let's sort this out. Because I think if this goes, it goes. Because I wouldn't like to try and bring it back together in its current form again.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I think we've got a unique service. It has taken years to develop. You know, that was my role there, was to develop the model, you know, that we deliver. And that's what's being recognised. So if we dismantle this and abandon it at the moment, it's going to take another 14 or 15 years to build up. And we're going back, we're stepping back in time here, you know, and I think we really need to recognise that. And if we look at, you know, even just anything in social media or on TV or anything now at the minute, it's talking about mental health, and it's about, you know, really reaching out. And if we keep breaking these services down, why are we, you know, having campaigns?
Yeah. Just to be clear, for those switching on, we're talking about the potential closure, unless someone pulls the finger out, of Donegal's only child and adolescent counselling services. We've been in contact with the HSE, with Tusla, not really satisfied with their response, but they are what they are. And we've also made contact with the Minister for Agriculture's office, the Donegal Minister. Like, we have to put this into context in the amount of money that's being spent in this country on so many different things. The easiest thing to do in the world is to pitch our children perhaps against immigrants or something, okay? There's no money being taken from this service to being given to immigrants. Those are separate issues. But there is money being given to everything left, right and centre. Football pitches, greyhounds, horses. That's grand. That's fine. 27 million, 20 million, 25 million. We're talking about 60,000 euro. I have to take one very quick break. You'll stay with me. The Bishop, Alan McGaughian's going to join us, as well as A2 Rep Mary T. Sweeney, because a lot of people, obviously, are very disturbed by this information. So Liam's going to stay with us. We're going to take a break. Stay with this issue. Hey, someone needs to come up with a solution to this, someone who has the influence and power, and we hope they do so today. We'll be back with more after this break. Bishop Alan McGaughian is with us now. Bishop, thank you very much for your time today. I do appreciate you talking on this very, very important issue. We've been listening over the last half an hour as to how vital this service is and the devastating it will impact it will have on young people and their families if it is to, as we fear, to be lost. I'm sure, Bishop, you are in full support of the retention of this service.
Oh, of course, my goodness. It's something we are just, our heart is completely in and incredibly proud of. The fact that this thing started 30 years ago in the Pastoral Centre with Sister Mary O'Donovan just reaching out to people who were coming in need, and there was obviously need for counselling, and that was where it started. It started small and then just grew and grew in response to need, to the point where the diocese recognised that it needed to go on to a more professional basis, and that was when Liam was... Liam can maybe correct us, but I think Liam was headhunted and under him because of the terror of this phenomenal need, and particularly for children, but for adults as well. It has grown and grown, and it is an extraordinary service in the county that we're proud of and just recognise a great need for.
And the thing is, too, it has grown, as you say, quite rightly off the back of demand. With a full-time director as well, Liam has done amazing work. With a full-time director as well, we should actually, and as I said this to Liam a little earlier, we could actually be talking about how it could grow even further. Mm-hmm. The waiting lists can be reduced and it can even further match the needs of the population. And instead, we're talking about this collapsing off the back of a 60,000 euro investment in 2024. It's heartbreaking.
Exactly. No, and I think there is also more to it than that. There is, of course, the immediate need for a full-time director. Liam is going, and he should have been able to get away months ago, and has very generously hung on just to keep us going. But we have been recognising for a number of years, on advice from Liam, that the whole thing needs to be on a more firm basis. You know, remember, it even now, much of the important background work is done by very generous, voluntary people. Individuals, and one in particular who comes in and works voluntarily. People on CE schemes who are doing a fantastic job. Diocesan staff who, on top of other things, are chipping in to whether it's answer the phone or just do all of the things that are necessary to keep this very big service going. And we recognised a couple of years ago that this is not a foundation for the long term. And consequently, we encouraged Liam and others to look about establishing an entity that would carry this on a really professional basis that could be independent from the diocese. They were gathered, and we met with them from time to time. Very, very gifted people in the field, aimed at putting a really firm basis under this here, called Tyrconnell Counselling and Psychotherapy Services. And they hit the brick wall some months ago, saying,
"I take it, Bishop, that the diocese cannot financially support these services."
No. Immediately there's something like 60,000 or 70,000 needed right now, annually. But I'm saying, for the thing to be done properly, there's a full time director, there's a full time coordinator, mm-hmm. and as I say, so much of that work is currently being done voluntary, mm-hmm. and on the side, and the diocese already every year throughout all the years the diocese has put money in.
No, I understand that, Bishop. And also, too, again, this is a service that both TUSLA and the HSE refer to. That's the most one of the more remarkable things in this, and they can't find it within multi-million euro budgets to provide the initial funding at least. And let's see where we can build it from there. Bishop McGuckian, thank you very much for your time. Mary T. Sweeney and Ain't Too Rep, good morning to you. Are you there, Mary T.?
Good morning. Can I just say that when I read this in the early hours this morning, between last night and this morning, word came through to me. One of the people that first reached out to me was the grandmother of that was absolutely distraught. She had a daughter with three children, going through a terrible time, and there was no access, no doors open to her. And through the pastoral centre, it was an absolute lifeline for her and for the young people with drug addictions and with different facilities. The facilities they offer there is phenomenal. And I have to thank the parish council and the bishop for the input that they provide towards that, which goes on unrecognised, really. And I would appeal to all the sitting councillors and the politicians across the county. This cannot be allowed to fail, and it must be reinforced. It's not just enough to provide the 60,000. We must look at the exact funding that this costs to make sure that it is actually expanded upon.
Yeah.
Because the amount of mental health, even with the rise, to hear this week that they're closing the mental health facility up in Carndonagh. I'm also told that they're intending to close the one in Dunloe. We've already heard last April that they're closing one, the unit and in Stranorna. Like, where are we going? Is this Letterkenny, Donegal at the bottom of the pile again that nobody cares?
I just don't understand why we have to keep fighting for the support of these types of services up here. It's a constant battle. We've had it over the years with the likes of iCare, with the likes of the Blue Stack Foundation, with the likes of the domestic violence services in Boncrana, or in Ashone, more generally speaking. I just cannot understand why we're playing whack-a-mole with issues that affect people so deeply. Is there one quick final point you wanted to make there, Mary T, because I do need to go to other callers?
I think that this is a direct attack on the mental health services for the people of Donegal, and the people of Donegal need to flood your station today and flood their politicians. When you think they're sitting on the Grace Report for 5 years and not a word about it, and how much of those people that are investigating that getting paid?
Right.
One of their wages, you see NGOs, you see CEOs of charities getting 300,000 for a wage. Not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
We need the HSE. Mm-hmm. Look at the funding. Look at the waste of money on the photocopier trying to put it into a room.
I respect exactly everything you're saying and where other money is being spent. But even if that were to continue, the €60,000, no problem in the country's finances to cover this. And I take your point. Thank you very much indeed. Rachel, you would be concerned that this service could be lost because it could be lost to someone very important to you.
Yeah, I have a son now that had he'd lost two very, very close people to him in a very, very short space of time. His mental health deteriorated really, really, really bad. I spent ages then through the HSE trying to get him sorted. We did eventually get to see a psychologist. My husband took him up the day of the psychologist, and the husband came back and he says he may benefit from bereavement counselling. I said to the husband, I said, was he referred? And he said, no.
So that was just a diagnosis. Back. There was no solution for you.
There was no help, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had rang back the psychologist and I had kind of said, like, you know, this kid here is suicidal. You know, this is the problems he's having. He goes, oh, well, he was happy today. He goes, that's what I base my judgment on. And he said he might benefit bereavement counselling. And I said, well, can you refer him? And he says, oh, no, you can look into that yourself. So I was absolutely livid at that stage. When I Googled then, I came across the pastoral centre and rang them up. And once I had told them everything my son had gone through, they had him in their centre within a week. And since he started with them, they've been absolutely amazing. But like, we really, really cannot lose this because it's the only thing kids have here in Donegal.
What would your son do if this service stops this week? I mean, you'd be very worried about that. And
extremely worried, you know. And he was, like, most nights too, he was crying at night time. And he has really, really come on leaps and bounds since he started attending his counsellor. And it's gobsmacking to think that this is going to go. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing for our kids in Donegal. There's nothing. This is the only service we have up here for them, you know.
Quite literally, yeah.
There's nothing.
Okay, listen, hopefully common sense surely has to prevail. I hope your son continues to improve. And it's great that he has. It sounds like he's gone through an awful time for a young lad. Hopefully he continues to get the help and support through these services going forward, Rachel, and he'll go into his 20s and beyond in a much stronger position. Thank you. Thanks for helping us. I get the message across. Liam, I suppose to recap, what more can we do? We've got the bishop saying we need to retain this service, we need to grow. We've got politicians saying that this can't be allowed to happen. But the most important voice of all is that of Rachel and Donna to me, people that are have and are engaging with this service and would be very concerned for the well-being of their young people if this kind of a service is discontinued. Again, I can't reiterate enough how important it is that everybody listening takes an interest in this issue, because
Well,
there's not an awful lot of things we can affect. I think we can probably do something with this one.
Yeah, well, you know, Greg, I think, you know, when you hear the likes of Donna speak and Rachel speak and the importance of what they're benefiting, you know, their child or their young person is benefiting from, or their family's benefiting from. And let's just, I suppose, take for a second, when a child or a young person comes in, the family benefit, the community benefits, the school benefits, everybody benefits, mm-hmm. because if that young person's not happy, they're not happy at home, they're not happy at school, they're not happy, you know, anywhere. And so these services are vital. Mm-hmm. For those families.
I'm going to make you stay there just for one more second, if that's
sure.
all right. Okay, we are talking about the potential loss of Donegal's only child and adolescent counselling service. It's delivered across the county by a non-profit, Rafo Dyson Centre in Letterkenny. There are also outreaches in Dunfanaghy, Stranola, Creasla, Buncrana, Carndonagh and Dunlow. The service provides has 26 counsellors and has delivered thousands upon thousands of counselling sessions to young adults and children in need of the support. But it is on the brink of collapse because the Tusla or the HSE can't find the €60,000 that would be required to appoint a full-time director, which is required because of governance and what have you, and because of the scale of this organisation now, to keep it going. So all of that could be lost. And we're at a point, and I'll put it to Liam Cannon, who's in studio with me, and he didn't disagree, that if this breaks up at this point now, you know, it would be very hard to even start putting it back together in a month or two or 3 months. I think we've got a very, very short window. We've contacted the HSC Tusla. Minister Charlie McConnellogue is the top-ranked politician in terms of influence in this county to see what his office might be able to do about it. And lots of people out there really shocked by this move. But Duncan, you think that you don't believe that, especially you're not of the view that a service that Tusla and the HSC refer people to should be funded by them? You think there should be other ways of funding this, do you?
Well, as I experienced growing up here in Letterkenny, is it from my childhood, especially the nursery school and so on, all the funding to the church was gathered within the community, not through the government. And the community itself worked pretty hard to raise that money for the schools and also for other services to do with the church.
You were of the view then that you believe the church itself should be funding this?
Well, as the church, like, I mean, not just as the church, as the people of Letterkenny have raised this money across the board. Mm-hmm. They've reached out to other churches within the community as well. We all help each other out.
Yeah. Okay, I get you. Duncan, listen, thank you very much for that. This is a service that goes far beyond Letterkenny. Just to some comments here. This is the kind of service that's so necessary, especially regarding relationship breakdowns, addiction, domestic abuse, parental alienation and so on. Government once again blind to society's needs, or is it just Donegal needs? Many aspects of the counselling services on a voluntary basis. The church is also providing the accommodation which needs updating. Yeah, indeed. And maybe we heard from the bishop that he wants it to be sort of independent, that it's outgrown its current structures. A caller says, our son, Shamey, who's no longer with us, spoke highly of Liam. He will be a big loss to this service. This service is needed now more than ever. It has to be saved. Another here, the centre has had people come to its front doors in distress asking for help as the hospital couldn't help, and people seen them then and there. That's the level of service it provides, and on it goes. And I mean, like, I get people's are very well intended in saying, oh, well, the Catholic Church should fund this, or there should be a fundraiser or whatever. And I understand that. But also, we can't keep relieving the state of its responsibilities either. This is a service, as I mentioned, that the HSC and Tusla refer to, that it's the only service of its kind. If it wasn't here, then extra pressure goes on CALMS and other services as well. I get where people are coming from, Liam, right? But there comes a point too whereby the scale of a service has to be recognised, its direction has to be recognised, and the government has to find €60,000 in the first instance to support it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose just going back to Duncan's call there, you know, I mean, the church is supporting this and has supported this all the way through, but it's at the point where this service needs to stand on its own two feet as an independent service. And I think that's why we have you know, a government, and that's why we have public funding to support these services, because this service has the potential to provide, you know, twice the amount of work that it is. It's not that we don't have waiting lists, absolutely, but we can't do that at a community level any longer. We've got to have, you know, proper national funding behind us in order to for it to stand alone as a service. And as I said, What we have to remember here is we do have the only model of this kind in Ireland,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we should be valuing that, mm. we should be praising that, we should be actually making sure, as you say, that we're actually increasing the funding.
For sure. And listen, Roderick O'Gorman has a responsibility in this area, Caroline. I'm sure we've contacted the Minister for Children, Roderick O'Gorman, as well. He has got a very broad portfolio with an awful lot of money being spent out of his various departments. Okay. If he can't impress the importance of this on Tusla, well, then maybe his own department can fund it. It is a department of children,
mm-hmm.
okay? And yeah. this is children we're talking about yeah. here as well as adolescents. Okay, listen, I'm going to let you go, Liam. I want you to stay in contact with us. We're going to keep the pressure on as much as we can as well. It's not one that's going to go away. What's the time frame here? Like, you've had a meeting with staff yesterday. You've yeah. informed them. Is there a caveat here? Is there a window that we have to turn this around? Because... Well, it will take a while to point a director for an example, right? So you're going to have to give us another day a week for a while.
I am.
If the money, if we find the money. You're committing to that.
You know, look, Greg, you know, as I said, I should have been gone on the 2nd of January.
I know, but you're still here.
But I'm still here. and you know, as I said, we, as a team down there, and as myself as director down there, I put years into this. You know, if it takes, you know, another few weeks... to get all this sorted, I'm very happy to
you
stay there.
I
can't leave it hanging because, you know, it's very personal.
Of course. You've just look what it's yeah. grown from. And I think yeah. and the tribute was paid to you by the bishop, which
yeah,
you,
completely.
You can't get much higher praise than that.
Yeah, well, you know, for me, I think, you know, when I spoke with the staff yesterday, you know, to all the councillors yesterday, you know, I was given, you know, sort of mid-March as closing. You know,
right,
so that
okay.
you know,
so we have a window.
But that, yeah, but we have a window. But you know, as I said, you know, if you know, funders are coming forward and talking to us and putting something in place, well, rather than closing, then we're looking at trying to recruit a new director.
No,
which,
I get that.
Which that's, I'll stay until yeah. that's
no, that,
complete.
But that, you know, process has to be greenlit.
Yes.
So
yes.
you know, regardless, you don't need this. Not you. Oh, any 60 grand doesn't need to be put on the table here. The position of a director needs to be greenlit.
Absolutely.
In terms of funding.
Yeah.
60,000 odd euro, yeah. and that would retain the service. Liam, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you very much,
right.
Greg.
Back tomorrow with the comments that we didn't get to. We'll continue our coverage of that story as well. And that and much more besides. John Bresson's next around the Northwest.